Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast, the show where we explore the fascinating world of artificial intelligence and its impact on our lives. I'm your host, Mark Kelly, and I'm thrilled to have you joining us today. Each week, we delve into the cutting-edge developments, breakthrough technologies, and innovative applications of AI right here in Ireland and beyond. As Ireland emerges as a global hub for AI research and development, we are here to bring you insightful conversations with leading experts, entrepreneurs and thought leaders who are at the forefront of this exciting revolution. So get ready to expand your knowledge and be inspired by the incredible possibilities that lie ahead. But before we dive in, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoy what you hear, we'd love it if you could leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. Together, let's spread the AI revolution. Hi everyone, we have a very, very special podcast today. We are in Microsoft HQ in Leopardstown, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Ciarán McCorry. Ciarán is National Technology Officer at Microsoft. Ciarán, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Mark.
I was just saying it was 3 years since I've actually been here. I cannot believe it's been 3 years since you've actually been in this place.
Well, you're welcome back. We were out of it for a couple of years. We're all glad to be back here.
It's actually just an incredible environment when you actually come in too. So we are speaking about Gen AI for a lot of people listening in. They're talking about ChatGPT and the world of OpenAI's partnership with Microsoft. In preparation for this podcast, I genuinely could have had 30, 40, 50 questions, but we'll start maybe 5 or 6. My first question would be, how does ChatGPT fit into Microsoft's overall strategy, artificial intelligence and machine learning?
I'll almost be redundant here. You can nearly have directed your questions directly to ChatGPT instead of asking me. So I feel flattered that you want a human in the loop, which is very important, actually. So just on ChatGPT, right, because you use both terms there. You talked about generative AI or Gen AI, I might call it that, versus ChatGPT. So ChatGPT is OpenAI's consumer service, right? So it's got an LLM or a large language model behind the scenes, and there's a conversational user interface, and people can ask it all sorts of questions and get all sorts of answers, right? And the technology that underpins that, these LLMs, various different flavors of them, GPT-3, you would hear mentioned, GPT-4, various other things. That's technology that we license in Microsoft from OpenAI. So we have a very close relationship with OpenAI. OpenAI runs their entire ChatGPT, in fact, all of their generative AI, all of their GPT services on the Microsoft Azure platform. So we have a strong relationship with AI, and we license their GPT technology, and we make that available for companies, for other organizations, to provide functionality that's very, very similar to the experience you can get with ChatGPT and other types of functionality.
So it's interesting. In the last 5 years, I've interviewed 400 leaders in AI from around the world, which predominantly Europe and North America. And not one of them would have said to me where we are at. They predicted maybe 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago. But in some ways, the technology is incredibly advanced, but in other ways, there's still a way to go. But OpenAI have done a fantastic job of putting a user interface on it for allowing people to try it out and really bring a conversation around AI for the masses now to take into consideration. And I know this is true because people have come up to me and go, did you hear about that AI? And I've been talking about this for 5 years. So it's a really, really interesting point to be where we're at now. How have you been using it? How have you been interacting? What's it done to Microsoft?
Well, just on the point of where we're at now, I mean, I think you're right to say that the basis of the technology has been around for any number of years. These neural networks have been around from the 50s, basically, and they've advanced considerably over the last number of years, specifically both in terms of the functionality of the technology itself, and the computing platform that's able to make them really, really valuable now. But certainly over the last 6 months or so, this thing has been a juggernaut that's really surprised everyone, I think, and surprised people because it's made the technology really accessible to everyone, right? Whether it's a parent or a kid doing their homework or a grandparent, like I've struggled to come across anyone that isn't familiar with this technology now. And if you'd asked the same question, well, what do you know about AI, maybe a year ago, you would have had a completely different response. It's really important for Microsoft at Build last week, which is our big developer conference. The central thrust of everything we talked about at Build related to how we're going to infuse generative AI technology from OpenAI into pretty much all of our products, right? So you're going to see generative AI being central to pretty much every Microsoft product and the way. So two things, pretty much central to pretty much every Microsoft product, and also the types of engagements we do with our customers to help them be more empowered and more effective and more efficient. Now, if I can just give one example, last week at Build, we announced 50 new co-pilots. So co-pilot, you can think of as an assistant. So it's leveraging generative AI technology. And you'll see it in pretty much all of our products. Like there's a co-pilot for Microsoft PowerPoint, for example. So you know that feeling when you have a presentation to write to someone and you're running out of time and you've got a blank screen or a blank canvas and you think, how am I going to do here? How am I going to construct a compelling proposition? So with the co-pilot for PowerPoint, there's basically a little chat window the side of the PowerPoint deck. And you can say, please create me a PowerPoint presentation on this topic. And you can be a little bit more granular and ground it, which is a bit of a technical term, but you can say, create this presentation for me using information from this website or from this Word file. And you hit go and you'll get a PowerPoint presentation created for you. And you can then tweak that. You can say, well, I like the content on this slide, but it's a little bit too wordy. Could you move some of the words to notes? And the slide's nice, but I need more color. It'll change the graphics. I want more animation. So all of the tedious or difficult things that people that weren't particularly creative that had to do is pretty much all of me. You're going to see that in all of our products.
And this is an excellent example because I think everybody listening to this podcast will be in that type of situation where they need some type of inspiration to go on that journey, and having that little prompt, because sometimes you can have too many ideas, but then you actually kind of get them down on paper. So that's a fantastic example. And I love the case studies and ideas and pilots for people to get involved, because technology is there to be acting as an enabler to help people be successful. Did any other co-pilots jump out to you from Build last week?
Well, a couple, but I'll go back to one that's been around for a while. Actually, there's a co-pilot from GitHub, or as you probably know it with GitHub, yeah. Right? Repository for open source code. So there's a GitHub co-pilot that's been around, I think, now for about 12 months or thereabouts anyway. But if you think about it, so I talked about LLMs earlier, large language models. Makes sense when you're writing text as you're using language. Any programming language is a language as well. And there's a specific subset of these LLMs for programming. So you can now use a co-pilot for GitHub to write code for you. So you don't need to understand the programming language, if it's C sharp or C++ or Python or JavaScript or whatever. In the co-pilot for developing code now, you can just type in an English language or French or German or Spanish expression to say, could you write me a subroutine that will do this for me? And it'll go off and it'll write the code for you. So I think the number is about 40% of all the code written at the moment using sources from GitHub is written by AI.
Which is incredible, because I saw that a live example in the US 2 weeks ago, and it saved between 60 to 90 minutes of that person's time in a live demo or how they actually apply that for a new feature.
We did some, we asked some of the programmers and the engineers in Microsoft, and it's a similar number. It's about 40, 46%. But we asked them for their view on this, right, of AI writing code that they would previously have written themselves. And their view was they loved it for a start, right? It took drudgery. It took the mundane, tedious effort of writing, maybe not the most creative bits of code, but all the scaffold that you might have to put around. It just abstracted all of that out. I think it was 94% of Microsoft engineers said this has been you know, been great for them, has made their life so much easier, has taken away the drudgery and just made them much more productive.
So from a user perspective, I've found myself the last 4 weeks, how I search, my expectations have dramatically increased in terms of what I want now from my engagement in search.
Yeah.
So when I find I'm using generative AI, I feel like saying thank you. I'm engaged. I feel like I'm on a journey to say, you know, I really feel bought in from the responses it's giving back. And it's kind of got, I feel like it's working with me and it's coming up with these type of solutions. From a business perspective, and, you know, we're under a challenging environment outside. What can business users expect from some of the product to help them be more successful?
Well, I think if you did say thank you to Gen AI bot or web chat agent, it would probably thank you very much for being so kind and considerate. And that's the appeal and the charm of it. But you have to remember, it's not intelligent. It's not sentient. It's just a set of rules, right? And it's a set of rules that works along the lines of looking at data that you put into it and maybe looking at a question that you've put in, as well as the input data or the prompt data. We've got this whole new field called prompt engineering now. And then generating, that's what the G stands for, GPT, generating new content as a response to that. So from a business perspective, I think it's pretty well known that lots of businesses have huge quantities of information locked up in databases, in structured, unstructured formats, text documents and file shares and all sorts of repositories. That's generally pretty difficult to get to. And there's a lot of knowledge locked up in those data sets. So what we're seeing the real interest vector for business is, how can they leverage all of that latent knowledge that's in the organization and make it available and accessible to people? So the way that these Gen AI technologies work now is that you can, when you're implementing some kind of summarization system or organizational-wide knowledge sharing system, you can, I'm going to use the term index. It's not really indexing, but you can gather or index all of that organizational knowledge in all of those documents. And you can ask GPT or a generative AI agent to say, you know, I've got a question about one particular thing. And you may never find that information if you were going to look for it casually.
Yeah.
But Gen AI will find it and it'll respond to you. So I think the big benefit of organizing, well, there's a couple of benefits. The biggest benefit is ability to get to knowledge that was otherwise lost for organizations. Secondly, it's the ability to gather insights that even if the information hadn't have been lost, the sheer quantity of it would have frustrated anyone from doing anything useful with it. I think there was an example, was it last week or maybe earlier this week, of a new potential antibiotic being found for what was previously considered to be a resistant strain, right? And that was only doable because Gen AI was able to go and process through huge quantities of information. So I think you're going to see a lot of scenarios like that where locked up knowledge is now surfaced and becomes available.
AI Ireland provides bespoke consultations and presentations about how AI is changing your industry. If you want to be on the right side of disruption and stay ahead in your field, we offer tailored AI presentations that deliver valuable insights. Business leaders have given very positive reviews about the transformative knowledge gained from our AI Ireland presentations. Get in touch with us to schedule a presentation tailored to your industry vertical. What advice would you offer for businesses that are getting a little bit overwhelmed? They don't necessarily know where to start. So many different opinion pieces on it.
I think businesses of all sizes need to think about how they're going to kick the tires around this in the first instance. And we see increasingly, like pretty much everyone is playing with ChatGPT at the moment. And there are good points and bad points in relation to that, right? I mean, you have to remember for those individuals or small companies that are using a free service, there's a trade-off associated with that. We saw some examples of the Italian regulator a while ago temporarily putting a pause on access to ChatGPT because of concerns around privacy and data protection. And I think any business that's concerned about the data protection aspects of its data and its privacy needs to be clear on getting the right policy in place for doing this. So if you're going to use a free service, there are risks associated with that. As I mentioned earlier, from a Microsoft perspective, we have taken all that capability and provided it through what we call Azure OpenAI. So you can implement that in an internal setting. So for me, I think a good way for businesses to start, I'm going back to my previous point about there's probably a chunk of information in those organizations that is lost in some way. It's not that difficult or that complex really to start out on some kind of a pilot project, implementing Azure OpenAI, finding data that you want to ground into the system so that you can start to ask good questions and can help in. It can help for both internal and external perspectives. I mean, the obvious external use case is a much more sophisticated chat agent or chatbot or web chat agent, right? That has access now to better and higher fidelity information than the previous more mechanical ones. But even for internal operations, I mean, we've been working with some customers in Austria that they're a construction company. They do really large scale construction projects and they have heaps of data going back years with respect to projects that they've worked on. So they have used Azure OpenAI to index and process through all of their historical data about previous jobs, previous projects, reports and all sorts of information around that. And they use that to provide some kind of early warning indicator of likely problems or challenges that may arise with new projects that they're bidding for. And I think they find something like an 80% improvement in the quality of their deliverables.
So there's a nicer ROI there. And you mentioned from the kind of the Italian regulation putting a pause on it. And I know Microsoft from day one is being very focused around and keeping an eye on this from a regulatory point of view and kind of letting people know that from an ethical consideration and kind of privacy firm design, what's your take on that and sure. How are Microsoft being proactive around that?
Well, we've always been very much on the front foot in relation to responsible AI. I think it was 2017. We came out with our responsible AI principles around fairness, accountability, transparency, inclusivity. Host of other things as well. We for years have introduced guidelines for responsible bots. We posed guidelines and regulation for facial recognition technology as well and the large scale usage of it. And we haven't changed our position in relation to the new challenge now of generative AI. In fact, our president, Brad Smith, made a statement last week and also came up with a blog post about five principles in relation to how the use of generative AI technologies should be governed today. And it's not, to be honest with you, not a million miles dissimilar from that notion of accountability and transparency, right? But also we appreciate the need for a solid regulatory framework around this. We're starting to see elements of this. You know, the European Union's AI Act is coming down the tracks. They've had to pivot very quickly over the last number of months, given what's happened with generative AI. But that sort of categorization of high, medium, and low and sensitive use cases is very important. From a Microsoft perspective, we have a strong, responsible AI model in place, governance model in place. We've got a set of guidelines and sample use cases that all of the engineering teams use when they're looking at new products. We have a specific committee called the Ether Committee. That's A-E-T-H-E-R. I'm not going to have to try and remember the acronym, but I think it's Artificial Intelligence Ethics for Engineering and Research. So, you know, we don't engineer anything today without considering the societal implications of that. And that guidance that we use internally, we also share publicly for anyone else that's working on a project that's going to involve this new kind of technology.
And I think for society, people knowing that this has been taken into consideration when they're utilizing these products gives them a lot of peace of mind, right? Because everyone feels part of that. And if I look at my final question,
sure,
where do you see this evolving? To it's moving so quickly, it's challenging to answer that. But in the maybe short to medium and long term, where do you see this playing out?
I'm much quoted in Microsoft for saying in my 30 plus years working in the IT space, I've never seen this much disruption at this pace in my life. I literally can't believe how fast everything happens. I mentioned at Build last week, we announced 50 new co-pilots that we'll see in all of our products. There's a co-pilot for Windows as well. I think you're going to see examples of not quite Microsoft co-pilots, but other types of co-pilots, companions or assistants cropping up in all elements of life, right? I think companies that use data, and I can think of very few companies that don't use data, will end up developing their own systems that are generative AI powered to make them more efficient, to help people do their jobs a lot faster. It's really difficult to predict where the technology will go in the longer term. It's on an exponential growth path over the last couple of years. The order of magnitude of sophistication from GPT-3 to GPT-4 is significant. GPT-3 has 175 billion parameters. GPT-4 is somewhere between a trillion and 100 trillion parameters. GPT-4 is 40% more factually accurate than GPT-3. And the difference in time between GPT-3 and 4 was only like 18 months. So when you're looking at that rate of improvement over such a short period of time, I'm going to cop out and say, I don't know where it's going to end up. But I think it's important to recognize that, you know, your previous question talked about being responsible and being ethical and making sure people feel comfortable with this use of technology. So I think it's important that those controls, those guardrails, those safety nets are in place to allow us to be very comfortable and confident using whatever way this technology goes.
Yeah, I think everybody wants that. Kieran McCorry, National Technology Officer, Microsoft, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Membership of AI Ireland places your organization at the center of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to a diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organization, including data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government, and SME organizations. Interested to find out more? Contact Mark at AIawards.ie.